Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, preaching a message entitled to you, Be Someone God Can Use. Be someone God can use. 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 to 20. Let's read it. New Living Translation. Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you, based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Hymenaeus and Alexander are two examples. I threw them out and handed them over to Satan so they might learn not to blaspheme God. Wow, nice pastor. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless and they can ruin those who hear them. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and who can correctly explain the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer in the case of Hymenaeus and Philistius. Verse 18. They have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. But God's truth stands firm like a fountain foundation stone with this inscription, quote, the Lord knows who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver and some made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are used for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you'll be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Verse 22, run, or another version says, flee from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Again, I say to you, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, be patient with difficult people. Must be patient with difficult people. He must be patient with difficult people. Verse 25. Gently instruct those. I'll be right back. Praise God. Hey! Just got touched by the joy of the Lord for a second. Verse 20-something. That's verse 24. Let's take it from there. The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, must be kind to everyone, able to teach, be patient with difficult people. Verse 25, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and will learn the truth. Verse 26, the final verse, they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. They've been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. Wow. Father, move in power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We do have notes for you. And if you don't have those, I'd encourage you to get a set of notes and go ahead and fill those in as we move along. And if I could have a copy, that'd be great. If you could hustle me a copy, that'd be good. Thank you, Brother Chris. Love your haircut. There is some recent accusations about a respected leader. And in actual fact, someone who's had a great impact in my life. Because it's an accusation and it's no one from King, so don't try to break your brain. It's so grievous to me. And was announced at their church, and I'm not going to say his name because I'm not going to give the devil any credit. But it was spoken about at the church that it's an accusation from 26 years ago. And I just began to take a look at my life this afternoon and praying. And it's a horrible thing when a minister falls. It's a horrible thing when anyone falls. But it seems to be worse when a pastor or a leader falls. And the enemy just so enjoys that. It's just like hyenas just jumping on it. I mean, all kinds of people do just insane, defiling, horrible things. And all kinds of corruption, payoffs, political people. How many things swept under the rug for all kinds of politicians? They say things like, oh, that's my private life. Don't judge my private life. Judge my public life. I have news for you, Mr. Political Leader, that your private life will soon become your public life, and that's the way it is for every single one of us. And the truth is this. Every single person in this place can fall. Every single one. All of us can. Even you, Pastor? Yes. Yes. I've done a lot of spiritual autopsies in my time of being a pastor. Been in ministry for quite a while, been a pastor exactly for 22 years yesterday. Was pastoring before that, but that's when I got my bestowal, was made a pastor on the staff, and I'm humbled by that. I thought it was longer, but I blinked and it went right by. I've seen pastors fall. I've seen leaders fall. I've seen husbands commit adultery, wives commit adultery. I've seen kids fall. I've seen all ages of people just destroy their lives. I've seen people get lured away from the church over sports. I've seen people lured away away from church for money. I've seen people lured away with many times with things that are, you know, well-meaning, but before you know it, they're not in church anymore, not serving God anymore. You say, not me. That ain't even going to happen to me. Well, I hope so. But I've learned enough to know that the enemy rolls around like a prowls around. There we go. I don't know what it is to roar around. Roar, roar, roar. Prowls around like a roaring lion. See, I'm still jet lagged, so have mercy. Prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's toothless for those who live right. But his tricks, he knows how to deceive. He knows how to lead astray. He knows how to destroy. It's incredible. A 26-year-old accusation comes out of the woodwork. And may God have help and mercy on those precious people that we dearly love. Christians are held to a higher standard. James 1 and verse 3 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged more strictly." So understand, life group leaders. Now understand that if you're a teacher, if you're a preacher, if you're a pastor, if you're an evangelist, if you're in ministry, you're held to a higher standard and you'll be judged more strictly. Reach your hands towards me and my staff. Father, help, help. This text is profound because there's this dude, Hymenaeus, not a very popular name now. But Hymenaeus shipwrecked his faith, which is really something. My wife is doing a class in systematic theology, and the author of this 500-page textbook, it's 1,500-page textbook, I was a couple pages short, 1,500 pages, the author is a Calvinist. And the Calvinists believe that once you're saved, then that's it. You're going to be, you're saved. There's nothing you can do. You're born again. That's it. You're saved. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And no matter what happens, then they would say that if you do actually live a life of sin, then you probably weren't saved. That would be some of the argument, and I'm just tapping it. But what's fascinating here in this text is there's this guy, Hymenaeus. Clearly he was in the faith. And his faith was shipwrecked. How many of you know what a shipwreck is? It's a ship that gets wrecked. So if your ship, it's revelation, like, whoa, no way. Yeah. You know what it means? The Greek word there means shipwrecked. So the idea is that he's in a ship and things are going well, and then wham, his ship no longer floats anymore, and he's in Davy Jones' locker. That's the idea. Davy Jones being a picture of Satan. And the text is clear. He didn't hold on to the truth. Look at verse 18. 1 Timothy 1:18. They have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead had already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people from the faith. And it's not only them that are shipwrecked and wander from the truth, but they've brought other people. Come on, you're going to influence people. We influence each other. And so Hymenaeus, this guy, and these other people, these names that I can't remember, what's his name? It begins with a P. It's another very popular name now. They shipwrecked their faith. They're destroyed. Satan becomes their pastor, which I'll talk about in just a moment. And it all started with them not holding on to truth. They didn't hold on to the word. Let me say this. This is worth writing down. When your doctrine's off, you're going to be off. When your doctrine's off, your life will be off. Somebody say, I'm not into all that doctrine stuff. You better get into it, honey, brother, sister. You have to learn truth. If you don't learn truth, then your life will be skewed. You'll end up shipwrecked. If you know, thank God for all the, you know, the hair standing on end and the goosebumps and the warm fuzzies. But I'm going to tell you something. There comes time when the wind of hell blows. And when that happens, you might not be feeling so warm and fuzzy. And there can come ear-tickling doctrines of demons. And if you don't know truth, if you don't have your doctrine set, if you don't know, then you could be shipwrecked. And I don't want any of you shipwrecked. I don't want to get shipwrecked. If you do want to get shipwrecked, you have a devil on you and you need deliverance. He did immoral acts. He did things that were immoral. He did things that violated his conscience. Some people have deliberately violated their conscience. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Your conscience, somebody said, when you become a Christian, you get a hyperactive conscience. I would say that's kind of true. But then some people in their conscience, they're not convicted about doing something that's wrong. Well, my conscience doesn't bother me to smoke weed. I'm not saying that. I'm saying some people say that. I don't smoke weed. I don't smoke anything. Come on, somebody say amen. Occasionally, I've inhaled the fire that's in my backyard where I burned debris before the snow fell. But none of it's plastic, Pastor Karen. When you're at home, none of it's plastic. And what Paul says is the solution, listen to the solution. It's right in the text. It's crazy. Paul says, so I turned him over to Satan. What? Now, that's not a new idea for me. I've read and studied this epistle before. But it might be new for your understanding. There actually is a time when someone is turned over to Satan. That's an official church act. Some people have deliberately violated their conscience. As a result, their faith is shipwrecked, and the solution is to turn them over to Satan. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there's this really perverse story, and the same thing happens here. There's a young man, and the young man is sleeping with his father's wife. So apparently his father is no longer married to his mother, or his mother is dead, we don't know. And the father gets remarried, so now he has a stepwife, a stepmother. And it says in 1 Corinthians that there's this young man sleeping with his father's wife. And the apostle Paul says, what in God's name are you doing? Now, this is the Bracken version. What the heck are you thinking about? Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Don't you know that if you don't deal with that, that it's going to poison the whole church? And it's a main text out of Dr. Morocco's book called Defiled, which everyone should read. I believe we have copies in the bookstore, in the merch section, lobby there. Go get yourself some merch and pick up the book. Defiled. He says, if you don't deal with that, that poison's going to work through the whole congregation. You need to turn that boy over to Satan so that he can learn never to do such a thing. And it's not the kind of thing that this act of authority that Paul says, it's removing the covering of the church over that young man. In this case, in the text we're reading, over Hymenaeus and this group that have shipwrecked their faith. He says, I'm turning him over. I'm taking the covering of the church off of them, and they're no longer going to be protected by the covering of the house. That's what he's saying. And it's not the kind of thing, he said, have you ever done that? I've had some situations where I think that happened, but it wasn't an official declaration, I now turn you over to Satan. It's not the kind of thing that you do where you're like, that's it, I'm turning you over to Satan. That's not the kind of thing. It's this brokenness you would have. I don't want to see anybody destroyed, but I have had people in my office. And without obviously giving names, one specific, there's many. Anybody that's come to try to hurt people here, try to hurt the church, try to, like, really probably sent from the enemy to hurt people here, some of them are no longer alive. And every one of them has been dealt with by God. I mean, that's an intense thought. And we had nothing to do with it other than we prayed. We've had people that try to bring destruction over the years. And we just pray, God, help us. God, intervene. Lord, help us. We do the best we can to live at peace with one another. But you can't continue to do things that'll hurt people, hurt the church. Because if you do that, then you're coming against God. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to end up getting ministered to by Satan. And so I had a situation. I'll tell it to you briefly. The family had been in the church for a long time. And I mean... 10 years. And they didn't miss a service. They came to every service, basically. But they continued to live a life, a double-minded life. They continued to come to church but get wasted and have domestic violence. They continued to come to church and cause strife and arguing, and there's drugs and all kinds of stuff. And they kept coming, kept hearing the word, kept getting ministered to, and would go back like a dog to the vomit every week. The police would be at their house on and on and on and on and on. I'm talking for years. And they said, we want counseling. So they came and I counseled them. And I counseled them some more, and they went back again, and they did it again and again and again. And I will never forget the last time they were in my office. I said to them, you all have to stop this. I said, if you don't stop this, then the Lord's going to take his hand off you. You can't keep coming to church and listening to the word being preached under an anointing like it is and keep doing the things that you're doing. And then the power of heaven fell in my office. I'll never forget it. I began to weep. And I saw an invisible line, and they're weeping, I'm weeping, and I said, I see a line, and you're right at the line. If you cross over that line, the Lord's going to take his hand off you. Don't do it! And I'm pleading with them, and I prayed, and they said, we know, Pastor, we know. I said, okay, stop! They lost their home, they lost their business, they lost their acreage, the husband is dead, all the kids are wasted. Wasted on drugs. They're scattered. Car accidents, crashes. They're no longer here. And one of them is dead. You cannot continue to violate your conscience and think it's going to be okay. It's not okay. What a great day to come to church. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. Man, we talk about the rapture, and now we're talking about Satan being your pastor. You want to leave the church of Satan and repent. You want to live for God. You know, the hope is when that happens, the hope is that people would come to their senses. We've had people come and try to do schemes and rip off money. Don't you borrow money from people here. You hear me? Don't you come and say, oh, can I just borrow $100? I just need $100. I just need $50. I'll pay you back. Please listen to me. It's probably a situation that I don't know about. I'll pay you back when the next pay period comes. I understand if you need money. I've been in that situation. I understand that. If somebody wants to borrow money from you, do not lend them money. If you can give it to them, bless them with it, but don't lend it to them. If you can go ahead and say, you know something, it's not a loan, I'm blessing you. You know why? We've seen people go to hell over $50. Because then the next paycheck comes and they squander it, they don't do it right, and they're like, oh, next paycheck. And soon they're so ashamed that they see you in church, they stop coming. And by the way, it's not a biblical thing to loan money, really. Don't sign for somebody's car. Don't co-sign for people. I'm not feeling the love. I'm going to go back here and encourage myself. Amen, Pastor Daniel. No co-signing. Amen. No co-sign. I co-sign for my daughter. I co-sign for my son. That's different. I brought him into the world, and I can take him out. Amen. It's a funny joke, kind of. But they're my family, and so I trusted them. They've both been very faithful. If they weren't, I would have taken care of it and absorbed it. I would have corrected them, and then I wouldn't have done that again. But they passed a test. Hannah's credit gone to 800, and she owns a house at 20, bought a house at 21. It's just going for it. I think you should help your kids. I think you should support. But that's family. That's different. And I mean my immediate blood family, in my house family. It is an unbiblical thing to sign for somebody else to do that. That is very dangerous, and I've seen people get in trouble over it. The solution Paul has for Hymenaeus and these characters that have violated their faith is to turn them over to Satan. I do remember a story. It's in one of the books by Dr. Morocco. The year was 1980. He came, about 100 people in the church. The church was the fastest growing church in America within the first year being here. And he had a word from the Lord that came by Pastor Colleen that there was someone at a high level in the church that was in adultery. So he confronted the man, and the man said, yes, I am. He said, you need to knock it off. He said, I'm not going to. He said, no, you are. He said, no, I'm not. So he went, and Pastor Morocco, Brenton, brought somebody else to go talk to this leader, high-level leader in the church, and confronted him with someone else. And he said, I'm not listening to you, any of you guys. I'm going to do whatever I want to. And they said, well, in that case, you're no longer allowed to come here. And with tears running down his face, he turned him over to Satan. And that is good pastoring. Not in anger, but in compassion that he would repent. And what happened in that case is that man contracted a horrible disease within a few weeks and ended up coming to repentance, and he repented, and he broke it off, but later he went back, and he ended up dying a horrible death prematurely. You cannot play. You don't mess around with God. It's serious. It's serious business. And Paul's encouraging Timothy, writing your notes now, to be approved as God's workman. Verse 15 says, work hard. Everybody say, work hard. So you can present yourself to God to receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word of truth. Talking about studying the word. I think everyone here, every believer should study the word. Every believer should study the word, should read the Bible. Listen, if you don't read the Bible, there might be something wrong with your salvation. Let me say this. If you don't read your Bible and you don't pray, then you have to ask yourself, what's going on? No, I don't read the Bible, I don't pray. Then maybe you're not born again, because when you're born again, you pray and you'll want to read God's word. Now, I understand there might be exceptions to that, but mostly that's true. Believers read their Bible and don't just read, don't just cherry pick things. Open it up. Oh, and the Lord blessed him that day. Fantastic. Because one day you might open it up and be like, Judas hung himself. I guess that's the word for me. No. You need to study God's word. And you say, well, I don't know how. Then get involved. Get through the Discover track that we have. Get plugged into our life groups. Learn God's word. Come on, somebody say, I'm going to learn God's word. Everyone should learn his word. And as you go deeper in the word, it releases an exuberance and a faith and a love for God that set you on fire. Some of you aren't on fire because you never read the word. Oh, do I have to? What do you mean have to? You get to. Sometimes when I'm studying, I just so enjoy preaching and so enjoy being your pastor with my lovely wife. There's times when I'm studying that I can't stay in my seat anymore. I'm trembling. I've studied so much. I'm just freaked out. God's power. I stand up. I'm like, man, whoa, yeah, wow, God, whoa, Jesus. Everyone should have that experience. Study yourself until you turn hot. For all you preachers out there, T.D. Jakes has a great saying. Pray, study yourself full, pray yourself hot, turn yourself loose. You want to be a spiritual athlete, you got to study and know the word. The word is an offensive weapon. And Hymenaeus, he messed up. Avoid false teaching, for it leads to ungodly living. Verse 16, avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. See, the converse of that is true. If you fill yourself with good teaching and good preaching, you fill yourself with the things of the word, you fill yourself with the things of the spirit, it produces in you a life of power, a life of passion, a life of zeal. Somebody said, Pastor, how do you stay on fire? I stay in the word. I pray. I listen to powerful preachers. I have my wife pray for me. I walk with the Lord, and I'm going to ever do that. And if you do that, then you won't backslide. If you add to your faith goodness and to goodness mercy, I mean, the word talks about that. You don't have to be a needless casualty of war. I'm planning not to fall. It's a good plan. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and say, oh God, help me. It ought to give you the fear of the Lord. That kind of talk, verse 17, that kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Hymenaeus and Philistius. They've left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. And they've turned some people away. Paul encourages Timothy to cleanse himself so he can be used by the master. Cleanse him. He says, cleanse yourself. Purify yourself. Verse 21 of 2 Timothy 2. And if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil. Say, oh God, make me a special utensil. A special tool. For honorable use. Your life will be clean. Be ready for the master's use. It's interesting because if your life is not clean, you're not be ready for the master's use. The title of the sermon is Be Someone God Can Use. You say, God can't, can God use anybody? God can use donkeys. God can use you. God can use me. But the tools that he actually selects to really release his power of this kingdom, that's a select person. That's a select tool. That's a select utensil, an honorable utensil that's been cleansed from the former things, now used for noble purposes, meaning holiness. Meaning purity. Holiness and purity matter. Holiness is key to the Christian life as we move along. We're called to be holy. We're called to be holy. Here's some scripture. 1 Timothy 1:15, but you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Hebrews 12:14, work at living at peace with everyone and working and living a holy life. What kind of a life? A holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Because of these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. And let us work towards complete holiness because we fear God. God desires us to reflect his glory in the world, but you'll never reflect his glory if you don't live holy. And there's got to be a paradigm shift. You say, oh, it's just so hard to be a Christian. It's hard. No, this isn't hard. Hard is the way of the transgressor, the word says. This is not hard. There are battles. There are challenges. There are trials. There are difficult people. I'm not looking at anybody specifically. God wants us to reflect his glory, but the people that reflect his glory actually are like him in holiness and purity. The process of when you give your heart to Jesus and you becoming more and more holy is a process of what's called sanctification. Everybody say sanctification. It's daily reckoning that the death and life of Jesus in your life daily. Putting to death the works of your flesh. God is at work in us to make us holy by the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1 and verse 2. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. And his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. Come on, how many of you remember when you first gave your life to Christ? You were mean. You were mean. You were ugly. You know it. You know you were. How many of you know some people? They were mean, dude. They were mean. And yet, as they continued to grow in God, that junkyard dog spirit got off of them. And soon they started being sweeter and sweeter. Soon they started, come on, I'm not worried about people that come in and they give their lives to Christ and they smoked an ounce of weed last week. And I'm not worried about that. And in the process of time, they will come to become more and more like Jesus. You know what's difficult is when people come into a church like this and then you got somebody trying to play the fourth part of the Trinity. There is no fourth part. Somebody walks in here, they need more clothes. Obviously, they need more of the Lord. Let the Lord tell them. Get away from my husband. They need to be sanctified. I remember when you came in, you needed more clothes too. Yes, you did, sir. Life in the kingdom of God is expressed through the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I've said this, I got it from another preacher, but the Sermon on the Mount is the bylaws of the kingdom. The bylaws of the kingdom of God is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I was in Chile just last week and having this incredible conference just a week ago. I was in the nation of Chile in Santiago, one of the largest cities in the world, 8 million people in that city. And at the course of our ministry during that weekend, I saw this precious woman who was demonized, clearly. The only thing is, I remember her from 3 years ago. And she was demonized 3 years ago. And as I spoke to her, I said through an interpreter, do you know what the Sermon on the Mount is? Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Now, this is somebody that's been in the church for years. And she said to me, no. And I thought, here you are, demonized like you were 3 years ago, and you're standing, and I didn't say that, but I thought it. How is it that you're in church for that period of time and you've never read or studied or heard about the Sermon on the Mount? And maybe you're here under the sound of my voice, or those online or wherever you are in India, potentially all around the world. The Sermon on the Mount, if you want to have an exuberant, on fire heart, you want to be on fire for God, go read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and do it. And if you will do Matthew 5, 6, and 7, your heart will explode. You'll be on fire. Some of you have a dull walk with God. You wonder why that is. You want your heart to be set ablaze for the glory of God? You want to be used by him? Go do the Sermon on the Mount. You do the Sermon on the Mount, it releases power. And I've brought myself to the understanding that I've got to serve even when I don't feel like it. You know, today we got home. I'm still a bit jet lagged. Pastor Karen had to drop some vegetables off for the gumbo. It's cooking, right? Glory to God. Let's close in prayer right now. She had to drop some vegetables off for the gumbo that I'm about to eat. I'm looking forward to it, really am. So by the time we got back to the house, we were floored. I'm talking tired, tired, tired. And she says, oh, I've got to bring the vegetables over. And I thought, oh, Lord, help her. That was working on this sermon, wasn't quite done yet. And I thought, you ought to do it. You ought to serve your wife. And I knew it was the Lord. And I said, you want me to do it? Say no, say no, say no. Jesus! But I meant it. You want me to go bring the vegetables? She said, no, honey. You work on your message. I was like, yes! Serve people when you don't feel like it and watch what happens to this. Go the extra mile. Help people. Do the thing. Come on, you clean up the dog pile that you want your wife or your husband to. You do it. Actually, the wife probably should do it. The husband, you should do it. Do the thing you don't want to do to help somebody. Go the extra mile. Serve someone. Bless someone. Buy their coffee. Buy their Big Mac. Do something. Go the extra mile. Serve people. Pray for people. Do the Sermon on the Mount, and you'll find yourself just exploding with passion and fire. We're so selfish many times. All right, how do we live holy? This is really kind of a summary, but it's right here. Verse 22, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Ooh. Instead, everybody say instead, pursue righteous living. So it's 2 points here. How to live holy. Very simple. Now, there's a lot of texts we could have chosen. We're looking at this one. Run. Everybody say run or flee. 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 I've told the story many times before, but I just feel like I'm going to tell it again. I was newly saved, and I was working for the Grand Hyatt Wailea in Maui. It was New Year's, and I was working at this four-star restaurant, and I was a waiter. It's New Year's. I'm not married. It's before I met Karen. I was a new believer and still struggling with some things. Can I get an amen? New Year's. I've got one of these waitresses that really likes me. And I thought she was pretty cute too, you know what I'm saying? And in the back, out comes the champagne in the back in the kitchen. And out comes all kinds of other things that I start getting tempted by. And I'm being invited by, hey, Bracken, come on, Bracken, come on here. Hey, Bracken, I got something for you. Hey, come over here. I'm like, oh, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve God. And I remember this girl's like, hey. Come back. Forget exactly what it was, but there was a clear invitation, and I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail. Like, I know I'm going to fail, and I'm in the bus station going like, oh, I'm going to lose, God. Oh, God. And I heard the Lord say, run. I was like, what? Run. And I said it out loud, run. And he said, run, run. Ah! And I took off. I ran through. Dun, dun, na, na. Fee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Dun, na, 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 na. Fee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Grab my backpack. Bracken. Ah! I ran out the back. I ran across acres of palm trees and fountains. I got to the employee parking. I got in my 1969 Pontiac Le Mans. I started that thing up and did a neutral drop. Sped around all those turns all the way into Kihei. Came four-wheel drifting into the driveway of my house. Got out of my car. Slammed the door. I was like, yes! Some of you need to run. Run. going, son? Come on, lift your hands to Jesus and say, run! Run, flee, flee lust. Flee lust. The whole world is pornified. I don't even know if that's a word. It's pornification. Everywhere, everything you look at, it's the sex and lust and greed, and it's everywhere. Some of you need to stop looking at all your reels. Some of you wonder why you're struggling with the lust problem and all you're like. You have a privacy screen so people can't see what you're looking at, but the Lord sees. The devil sees too. And if you got a problem where you're just so consumed by reels and it's eliciting lust, it's eliciting greed, it's eliciting things inside your fallen human nature that need to be put to death, you need to run, you need to flee from that thing. Can you say amen? Can you say a better amen? Amen. Issues of sexuality are big, and it's nothing new. In Roman culture, where Paul's writing this, the city of Pompeii, how many of you know what happened in Pompeii? Vesuvius buried it. They've uncovered Pompeii. They see in the homes, they've discovered these murals that are illicit pictures of sexual acts in the homes. So what we're struggling with in our culture with all of this stuff is nothing new, but is certainly heightened through electronics now. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. Avoid sexual immorality. Look at 2, don't have anything to do with foolish, stupid arguments. I love how it says stupid. Pastor Karen, it says stupid right there. Stupid. Avoid foolish, stupid arguments. I remember being in a mandated program years ago, and these guys were arguing over how many angels fit on the head of a pin. How many? Does anybody know how many angels fit on the head of a pin? It's an old expression. Because no one knows, but I would say as many as God wants them to be. But it's the point, it's like, it doesn't matter how many angels fit on the head of a pin. And I've seen people argue over the most stupid, is that a word? Stupidic? I coined my new word, stupidic. Stupid, foolish arguments. Don't do it. Just don't argue over things that mean nothing. I've seen people get in these arguments on Facebook and stuff. I have no time. We've had people pick at us, maybe online or whatever. And by the way, if you're online, you're on YouTube, we're so glad. You start mouthing off, we block you, you're done. You'll never be back on our site. So Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah. Listen, don't argue with people. Can I get an amen? Don't be resentful. Verse 24. Man, resentment, bitterness. Hebrews 12 talks about that. Don't let a bitter root spring up and defile many. I've known people that have been bitter. I've been bitter in my own life. I've been through some things. You know, bitterness is unforgiveness, basically. Bitterness is like you didn't get what you deserved. You deserve better. I deserve better. That's not fair. I can't believe they did. Listen, you deserve death, honey, brother, sister. We all deserve death. So you should just be thankful. Now, there's righteousness and truth and justice. I understand that. But don't get bitter. Some of you are not bitter, but you have a residue of bitterness. I preached a whole message on it, avoiding the bitter root road. Hebrews 12. Don't let a bitter root spring up and defile many. You can hear it in people's language. They're sarcastic. People that are sarcastic have issues. You're like, what? That's like my love language, sarcasm. No. Sarcasm is an indication of bitterness. You're like, you just destroyed my whole game. Don't be resentful. Turn away from wickedness. Verse 19, worship team. That worship team's not in there. That's me calling the worship team. Thank you so much. Turn away from wickedness. Don't allow it to be in your life. Some of you people are partnered with folks that you need to you need to move on. If you partner with people that are wicked, then what do you think's going to happen? We should not partner with wickedness. I love this, Dale. This comes from your pastor, Stockstill. And Roy Stockstill, I guess, was your pastor first. And then after Pastor Roy, his son Larry, and now Jonathan, I think pastor's at work. Pastor Roy gave a quote, which I've used hundreds of times. The best way to be discipled is in a small group. I've quoted them hundreds of times. But another quote from Larry, which is this. Fellowship with all, partner with some, build on sons. Some of you are building on people that you light and darkness. You shouldn't be partnered with them. You wonder why it's so painful. You know, if I had an accountant that told me I shouldn't tithe, they would instantaneously be fired. I don't have an accountant that says, what are you giving all that money to church for? I discover whether they're walking with God. We don't have accounts personally, corporately. We don't have accountants that don't think that we should. Oh, you're giving too much. You're fired. I don't partner with that. Some of you are partnered with people that are, it's not good for you. Pursue righteousness. So there's flee and then there's pursue. There's two parts, living holy, flee and then pursue. You have to do the pursue part. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. I mean, that'd take a whole lifetime to pursue that. Pursue righteousness. Pursue faith. Pursue love. Pursue peace. You pursue those things. It's not just fleeing. It's not just running away. It's pursuing. It's going after God. It's pursuing faith. It's reading your word. It's going to church. It's reaching out. It's praying. It's not just running from lust and running from greed and running from wickedness. It's pursuing God. It's pursuing Him. You get a clear picture of what's right and wrong. And there's lots of text here. And I gave it to you. Hebrews 13. Not going to read it for the sake of time. Galatians 5, I am going to read that. 1 Corinthians 6, you can look at that later. Let me read Galatians, listen to this. Galatians 5, verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again. My God, you just wiped out the whole church. Let me tell you again, as I've told you before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. Verse 24, this one stings. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. I love that translation. Look, I'm spitting everywhere. I'm just so excited. They nailed it to the cross and crucified them there. I'm gonna read that again, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires and their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Verse 25, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. My God, what a great passage of scripture. So what are you saying? Are you saying if I haven't nailed my lust, my greed, my evil, sinful desires to the cross and I might not belong to Christ? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let's have a praise break, shall we? Lift your hands to heaven and say, oh God, help me nail it. Come on, somebody say nail it. Come on, bump your neighbor and say nail it. Be willing to let go of anything that contaminates you. Be willing to let go of anything that contaminates you. various times in my life, the Lord has said, yeah, stop that. And it's not even like a sinful thing in itself, but he says to me, stop. And so sometimes it's taken me a while to obey, but as I do, then he releases a blessing. Some of you are doing things he's told you to stop. It's contaminating you. Stop it. You have to break off things. You become what you behold. Did you know that? What you put before your eyes, that which you spend time with, bad company corrupts good character, but good company also releases the blessing of God. Have fellowship. Some of you watch movies, it's just you'd be embarrassed if we showed the movies that you watch. You'd be like, oh, I don't want anybody to know that. Well, then why are you doing it? Then you got to ask yourself, you're feeding that thing and it'll never be satisfied. It'll be just like this black hole. It'll never satisfy you. It'll never fill your heart with goodness. You need to flee and pursue righteousness and cut off anything that contaminates. You say, what if it's my husband? Okay, well, you got a ministry there. You're going to have to pray. Amen. What if it's my wife? You got to pray. You got to be like Christ. She won't be able to resist you. You just be like Jesus, just crucified every day. So serve God. Pray your ears off. Repent. You can be someone that's used by God. And like I said, God can use anybody and anything, but the specific people that God uses live holy. They live pure. They're not defiled. They study his word. They're a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. New King James. So what now? E, repent. Repent. Turn away from evil. Flee. Run. Pursue God. Holiness matters. I want you to say that. Holiness matters. And I'll close with this as the ushers prepare. We're going to receive communion for those that want it. If you don't want to take communion, just let it pass right by. And this will be the last thing we do tonight. I have a black lab. And it's a great dog. His name's Cooper, named after Cooper Landing, which we love driving through on the way to go kill salmon down there in the peninsula. And every other time we go down, I just love the name Cooper. So we named our dog Cooper. He comes from a champion bloodline. Now, he's not trained, but he's trained for us, but he's not trained to do bird hunting, bird dogging. I remember a story, actually, I think it came from Larry Stock Still Again. It's a story of this bird dog, tremendous bird dog. Father is a champion lion, mother champion lion, and this guy gets his bird dog and trains the bird dog. And occasionally the dog would just not act right. And so the owner talked to the trainer and says, he's going to be all right, get him out there. Go ahead and get him out there. You got to get him out there. You got to get him working. Don't feed him before you get him out there. You got to get him out there hungry and you get him working. He's going to come together. He said, I don't know. So he takes him bird hunting and the dog performs amazingly. You guys can start serving. Ushers, go right ahead. And so when the owner talked to the trainer says, well, I knew he'd do it. He's got the father in him. You seen that dog? You seen that? You seen the sire? Woo, what an animal. And he had a revelation. He realized, you know something? I can live holy because the Holy One lives in me. I can do it. I can do it. God lives in me. The greater one lives in me. I can flee. I can run. I can turn. I don't have to give in to that. The Father's in me. Come on, somebody say that. The Father's in me. It's a different perspective. That sin is nothing before the power of God. You can overcome.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.